9 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us, Jim and Max, today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. Felt bad that we had to end it there with Deb, but we are running up against the top of the hour. Jackson, as he always, does a great job explaining why, with the playoff structure, the Avs are taking on Winnipeg, which will have Sunday, by the way, pregame at 4:30, face-off after 5 o'clock, Avalanche at Winnipeg to open up the Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, Nuggets tomorrow night taking on the Lakers at Ball Arena, game one of their first-round playoff series. And pregame at 6 o'clock for that one. Jason Kosmiski, Scott Hastings. We'll bring in the Scott Hastings conversation that we had from earlier in the week, previewing Nuggets-Lakers. We'll have that coming up in just a few minutes. All right, 901, Jim and Max today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Also, this hour, Jerry Schimmel will join us coming up at 9:20 this morning. Rockies and the Seattle Mariners tonight. Rockies at four. You know, four wins on the season, taking on Seattle tonight. Ended up with a five-run rally in the eighth inning, but could not get a win at Philadelphia. They get swept. They go 1-5 on the road trip. Pitching hasn't necessarily been the problem. The bats at times have been part of the problem for the Rockies. Yeah, you have to get more production from Brendan Rodgers. You have to, Chris Bryant, that is starting to look like maybe the worst deal in Rockies history. And this is a franchise that's had some doozies, my friends. From Ian Desmond to Daniel Murphy to Mike Hampton to Denny Nagel, they've had some doozies. Chris Bryant's looking like it might be the worst one ever. So, Dexter Collins today. Got some predictions on the Nuggets and Lakers tomorrow night. Avs and Winnipeg. I like a gentleman's sweep for the Nuggets over the Lakers. I think it's going to be, I don't know which Avalanche team's going to show up, because which Alexander Georgiev is going to show up. The one we saw at times last year, or the one we've seen lately, which has been pretty dreadful, to be quite honest. Which one are you going to see? So we talked about Connor Hellebuyck. Most likely to win the Vezina. For the best goaltender in the NHL. Also, being where we are, here on the Western Slope, 30 miles from the Utah border, we are lucky that Denver's 4 hours away, Salt Lake City's 4 hours away. And now that the Coyotes are going to move to Salt Lake to be whatever they're going to be at some point, I always think that the drive to Salt Lake's a little easier. A little better than Battle in the Mountains. Is this going to be a situation where you go maybe to watch the Avalanche play more in Utah than you might go watch them play in Denver? Because it's perhaps going to be an easier trip. Does it excite you? Because where we live, you can go watch NHL hockey, even if it's not the Avalanche, just 4 hours from here in an easier drive. Or does the move of the Coyotes to whatever they're going to be in Salt Lake, it's like, nah, I don't really care. I'm still going to go to Denver and watch the Avalanche. And I might go watch them play over there, but it's not going to increase. It's like a lot of people thought with the Raiders, hey, more people are going to go to Vegas from here to watch football, go watch the Broncos, because you can get to go to Vegas. Not comparing Salt Lake City and Las Vegas, mind you. Entirely different communities, entirely different worlds. But different reasons to maybe go there. You laugh, sir. You laugh.
Vegas is a lot different than Salt Lake City.
Quite a bit.
They like lean into that, what you're talking about, Las Vegas does. The city of sin definitely says, hey, come on down. Catch a game. You know, bet the mortgage.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, baby.
Meet some interesting people that might break your knees for 4 months.
Salt Lake is kind of, hey, we're nice folks. Come on out and see us.
Right, right. You get like a lobster baked potato stuffed with mac and cheese in Vegas, and you can catch, you know, the Las Vegas A's or whatever they're going to call them here in a few years.
Or you can go see a show at the Sphere.
Right,
so pay
right.
$8 gazillion to see U2, when it's only not all of U2, since Larry Mullen Jr. was out with an injury. He was on the rock and roll injured list.
Do they put that out every
and they
week?
Do. There's, yeah,
the,
yeah,
the pup? The rock and roll
there's
pup?
There's a rock and roll pup list. You know, Brian Johnson's been on there a few times.
Able to perform. Bono, I lost my shades. I'm on the pup list. Oh, man. Yeah, as far as Salt Lake goes, I think they're banking more on Utah being the real fan base because...
Well, true, but for here, though, I mean, I'm just asking about people here.
Yeah.
Because it's a short distance. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a less difficult drive.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of going to Denver.
You ever get fired up, though, on a weekend, like, with your family or your friends? Like, you guys ready to go to Salt Lake City?
Let's go to Salt Lake City, baby.
Yeah!
But I will say this, over the years, with more shows being over there and more things like the you know, not that I've never been to a jazz game over there, but it does provide more reasons to go there.
Well,
to watch something.
Per the Capitals' defense, they did just put a Buc-ee's somewhere outside of Denver, from what I understand. The giant gas station that does jerky, fudge, and... possibly.
Yeah, didn't I see
know,
one of our former colleague Katie Mitchell?
Yeah.
She went there.
She went to Buc-ee's.
The Buc-ee's, and she was very, very stoked about going to Buc-ee's.
I have a hilarious story.
It's
about,
in Johnstown, by the way, if you're wondering where the gigantic
is. It's a massive complex.
5201 Nugget Road.
Hey.
In Johnstown for the Buc-ee's.
I wonder if anybody from the pile has been and has a review.
Yeah, pile. Have you been to Buc-ee's in Johnstown? Was it a highlight moment for in your life?
I know for some people that is true.
It's a big deal.
When I was in college at CMU, Mesa State back then, I had a roommate who tried to convince me to drive to Idaho one weekend just to go drive some Maverick food. And I'm like, are you crazy?
Well, it's like the
allure. You want to drive 8 hours for some gas station food?
It was like the allure of the In-N-Out burger. Not that that's a gas station thing, but... Mary Ann, there's we have In-N-Out burgers here in the state. It's like, oh my God.
It's packed every time.
I have friends from California. I swear by In-N-Out Burger. Went to In-N-Out Burger in San Diego one time, and Ken and I went there. Stood in line for a while.
Did you get it animal style?
I don't remember how I got it.
I like it animal style.
And what is that? Because I'm not familiar with the In-N-Out Burger vernacular.
I have no idea what it is either. I just said it when I was there.
Okay, so you. And I went, it's okay. And people are like, are you insane? I go, it's okay.
It's a burger.
It's not the greatest hamburger I've ever had. What? It was like utter blasphemy that I thought In-N-Out Burger was just, it was just okay. Fries were okay. It was good. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. It was like I would never go there. I'm not going to go there again if I got to stand in line for 30 minutes to get just a okay hamburger.
Right.
This thing needs to just knock me on my boo-boo. My mind needs to be blown.
I need to be knocked on my boo-boo.
And okay? It wasn't. Boo-boo was not knocked on. Mind was not blown. It was just kind of, I expected to be some kind of psychedelic ayahuasca kind of experience. At least what I would think that would be. And I went, that's okay.
That's good.
But I want you to say it's just okay. It's like, oh, you don't really believe that. It's like, yeah, I do. I really do believe that. If I thought it was great, I would tell you it was great. I would say it was fantastic. It was the greatest burger I've ever had. Mind officially blown. And I just went, it's all right. People take offense to that, though. When you don't, something that they love, something they purely, totally lean into and enjoy, it's got great memories for them, whatever. Particularly something that we don't have here, that someplace else. It's like, how can you not just feel like it's the greatest thing ever?
But, you know, I mean, it's a fast food burger for all its accoutrement, right? I mean,
yeah,
I love White Castle, Jim. I can hammer like a 30 rack, yeah. But you have to have intestinal fortitude to do that. You're not going around espousing these magic accoutrement that a White Castle burger has. You know what it is.
President Marsh will be very pleased with displaying your CMU education the way you are this morning.
Yeah, no.
With accoutrement.
It's like some sports fans. It's like if you're going to base your entire personality on your favorite fast food burger, you're probably going to run into some tough times socializing. If you're going to do...
Probably so.
If you're going to base your entire personality on your sports team and the success or the opposite of that, you're going to have a tough time socializing because you're going to run out of jerseys to wear to the bar, first of all. Second of all, you're probably going to run into people who don't agree with you. And that is something that at least I know when I'm eating the White Castle burgers, I'm not like trying to shove them down my friends' faces because I'm like, you're missing out.
Look at what you're missing out on.
Shove it in your... No. I'm just like, okay, more for me, or like I understand because I know what this is going to do to me later.
you know the damage
yeah.
that it's going to wreak on your intestinal system.
Right, right. It's like eating like two or three hot dogs at the turn. You know that the nitrates are just going to be action-packed, but it's what you need at that point in time.
You're giving your body that fuel that it needs at that
moment. You don't need a Nature Valley granola bar that's going to crumble in your hand at the slightest breeze.
Terrible granola bar, by the way.
You don't need fiber. You don't need some sort of Quest 1 bar powering your whatever. No, you need a tube of mystery meat with some sugar on top disguised as tomatoes. All right?
And that's totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you on that.
Let's call it what it is. Like an In-N-Out burger. It's an In-N-Out burger, yeah. Right? You had the experience and move on with your
life. Only on this program could we go from talking about hockey in Salt Lake to In-N-Out burgers.
Well, I think there's one on the way. Isn't there one in Salt Lake? I believe there's one in St. George.
I believe so. Yeah, it's...
That whole route to Vegas is peppered with all sorts of wonderful
things. I got to be honest. I do not have an In-N-Out burger location map. Committed to memory.
Also sacrilegious, Jim.
Probably so. There are those that are out there probably with their Jim Davis voodoo dolls stabbing it with a pin that they got maybe from an In-N-Out burger.
That's what I love about sports radio, Jim. You can like have those type of epic rants.
Here's the other thing too. One final In-N-Out burger thing. The people that have the In-N-Out burger license plate cover thing.
They have them?
Yeah, I've seen those. What? You really got to love In-N-Out Burger, man. You just got to love it to have a license plate cover, bracket, whatever, for In-N-Out Burger. And what are you trying to say about yourself with that? I'm just not sure. Do you feel like it shows you're from California, that it's a
class
California kind of thing?
You have taste?
I just look at it as it's a hamburger place.
You don't slum it at the arches.
I don't have a BK license plate bracket on my truck or not, Carl's Jr. or
not a member of
Wendy's.
The BK Lounge, right?
Exactly.
Mm.
Frequent those places, but don't necessarily feel the need to rep the products with my vehicle driving around town. All right. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. And had the chance to talk with Nuggets broadcaster Scott Hastings as Denver gets ready to take on the Lakers, a conversation we had with Scott earlier this week. We bring it back to you now right here on the Jim Davis Show.
Talking Nuggets basketball with Altitude Scott Hastings on the Jim Davis Show.
And joining us right now, the team line calls the Nuggets on Altitude with Chris Marlowe. Scott Hastings joins us. Scott, always a pleasure. Good to have you back on so soon.
No, you didn't believe me, did I? Said, call me anytime. You call me anytime.
I called your bluff on it, man. I did. I said, let's see if Scott's really going to come back on again soon. And you did. And you're a man of your word, sir, and I appreciate that.
No, have fun. I don't mind doing this.
Well, we love having you on, and we love getting your insight into the Nuggets. We now know it's going to be a rematch of the Western Conference Finals. Nuggets sweeping the Lakers last year en route to the NBA title, and they're going to get LeBron and the Lakers Saturday night, first game of the first round after the Lakers last night beat New Orleans. You had Zion Williamson, an incredible game until he got hurt there late in the game. Scott left with an injury, but the Lakers move on. I guess just take us through your thoughts about this rematch with the Lakers and the Nuggets from last year's Western Conference Finals.
Well, you know, the Lakers to me are and we don't have to like them, but we can respect them, if that makes sense. They're one of the perennial NBA giants, right? They're the Jabbars and the Chamberlains and the Jerry West and the Magic Johnson. So there's this long traditional history that you have to respect there. And they've been an outstanding franchise for decades. They have been the ender of seasons for the Nuggets. In fact, last year when Denver beat them was the first time I think the Denver had beaten them in the playoffs in like eight attempts or something like that. Denver's now won 8 straight games against them, swept them last year, and this series scares the heck out of me. I think they will do a good job of motivating themselves. I think LeBron James and all the trash talk that came out of Denver and everything else last year after the sweep probably settled a little smoke last year because Denver won the finals too. But I think LA thought that, hey, if we could have beaten Denver, we'd have beat Miami also. So this scares me a little bit. You're playing a team with 2 Hall of Famers. If no one in this matchup on Saturday were playing any more basketball, they have 2 Hall of Famers on their franchise. And they've really done a good job circumventing the salary cap to put pieces around those 2 guys. So I look at this as a huge challenge. I think it's going to be a huge motivational thing for them. It's scary for me. I think Denver is better from the standpoint of the first team, that their starters are better than anybody in the league. But if it gets into a depth type of series or game, I worry about Denver's depth, and I'm kind of worried about it all year long. I think it'll be fun. I don't think this is a traditional 8-7-2 series. I think this has a chance to be scary, but I still think Denver's a better team.
Nuggets broadcaster Scott Hastings with us today on the Team Sports Network. And last year, in the Western Conference Finals, D'Angelo Russell just got outplayed. The Nuggets played him off the floor. He's 4-for-11 for 8 points and played just 8 minutes 45 seconds in the second half of game 1. He got humiliated last year. He had 21 points in their win over New Orleans last night. And he says the public humiliation has done nothing but mold me into the killer. You see, today, I think for the Lakers, if they're going to be able to get past the Nuggets in this first round matchup, D'Angelo Russell has to play like that air quote killer that he says he's been playing at this point in time, especially the way he played last night that win against New Orleans.
Well, listen, if he's playing like that, that's a whole new addition, if you will. It's almost like he was an afterthought last year, couldn't make any shots. And played scared. He played after he started missing. He literally played scared, and why Darvin Ham benched him a little bit. But listen, you still got LeBron James. You got still Davis. When he decides he wants to play, it still can change courses of games. They signed Hachimura to a bunch of years after this, and you know, he's a 6'10 guy that was a high draft pick, and D'Angelo Russell was the first or second pick when he came out. So, listen, they've got talent, and they got motivation. If you listen to the locker room last year of Darvin Ham, he kind of set the tone right there that he's ready for this matchup. And I'm not sure the national media did any favors for Denver either by suggesting they should lose that game and then just try to win the next night so that they can play Oklahoma City rather than Denver. And I think that, listen, there's nothing worse when you challenge a pro player, and especially some with character, and I think LA has character.
Scott Hastings with us today on the Team Sports Network. And then you look back to that matchup last year in the Western Conference Finals. Nikola Jokic, of course, is brilliant. We know how great he is and what a tremendous player he is. But Jamal Murray was kind of the guy that was really the difference. He averaged 32.5 points per game, nearly 3 steals per game during that series, during that postseason run, in particular in that matchup with the Lakers. Jamal Murray, once again, could be a huge and should be a huge factor for the Nuggets when this playoff series begins on Saturday.
Yeah, 2 guys that I think are key. I think Jamal Murray, and I've said this, for the last few years since he tore his ACL, Jamal Murray is your heart and soul of the team. And when he is in it, he's rolling, and his mind is going, and you see the emotion. He can will this team. I love what the TNT crew said after postgame. It said, listen, Joker's going to be Joker, but Jamal's the key. I would throw Michael Porter Jr. in there, too, also. You know, they they swept L.A. last year in the Western Conference Finals, really with Michael just kind of being a minimal performer. But I think he's a giant key this year. And when he's stretching the floor, when he's attacking the basket, when he's being active, then you can throw on Murray and Joker doing stuff. Then they're absolutely hard to handle right there. And, you know, now KCP and Aaron Gordon could just give you, you know, the role guy stuff. They can give you the lob dunk when I get doubled by Joker. I can, you know, Gordon's strong enough to bang against LeBron James. KCP, you know, if Russell gets too hot, they'll slap KCP over there on Russell. So, I think it'll be a good series. I do not think it'll be a sweep. And I think those first two games in Denver are monster for the Denver Nuggets.
All right, that's Scott Hastings. We'll have the game tomorrow night with Jason Kosmiski right here on the team. Nuggets hosting the Lakers to open up the NBA playoffs pregame at 6 tomorrow night on the Team Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll talk some Rockies baseball. Jerry Schimmel, that's next on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
Oh. The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what? On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back. Jim along with Max. Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. On the team tonight, the Rockies are back home at Coors Field. Take on Seattle. I'll have the call along with Jack Corrigan. Jerry Schimmel joins us. Jerry, always a pleasure. Thanks for hopping on for a few minutes this morning.
You bet, Jim. Good to be on with you guys.
I'm sure you're glad to be home after the road trip, day off yesterday, and a rough road trip with the Rockies. They go 1-5. And I just think if you look at part of the problem for the Rockies, and there's a lot of issues right here. We're not going to sugarcoat it. You look at how things start out for this ball club in the first inning. They have had a really... They played well in the later innings, but boy, the first inning, they've given up 29 earned runs. Their ERA is over 13. They just get out of the gate really, really bad, they have so far this season.
Isn't that strange the way that's happened, Jim? And then the Rockies can't respond offensively in that first inning. I think they've scored first one time going back to last year, once in the last almost, I think, 20 games now. That's almost unheard of in baseball. You'd think you'd have... You know, run into a home run or the, you know, big inning in the first inning and outscore and score first, but this hasn't happened to the team. And then it's interesting with the pitchers too. They had that rough first inning, and for the most part, they bounced back really well after that. So and pitched well. The staff, other than that first game in Phoenix when they gave up 16 runs, has done well. They've had a good team ERA since that time. So it's almost unexplainable. It's a little fluky, I think. You don't see that in baseball that often, but that's what the Rockies are going through right now.
Yeah, they've been outscored 29-5 in the first inning on this 4-15 start. And, you know, they've only held opponents scoreless in the first, inning four times in 19 games. And it's another bizarre part of this, too, that none of those games have resulted in wins when they've had success. So... At least from a win-loss standpoint, it hasn't been a factor. But, boy, it's in terms of, though, just trying to have some success, it's been tough. Where, like we talked about, later innings, fourth inning on, it's like a 1.89 ERA. It's been pretty good for the Rockies starting pitching in the later innings. I guess you've coached over at Metro State. You know baseball. You play college baseball. If you're Bud Black, how do you approach this situation with the Rockies right now?
You know, Jim, I don't think you do anything different. I really don't. I think what you do is you go through your normal stuff, and that is you get prepared, and if you're a player, you do the same thing. You don't change your routine just because you're not scoring runs in the first inning, or you don't change your routine as a starting pitcher because your teammates have been giving up runs in the first inning. I think you do the same thing. You go out there, you prepare. It's just like losing a game. What do? You go back and try to win the next one. So I don't think you do anything different. I don't think Bud pulls anybody aside and says, hey, you know, you got to get out of this first inning better. They all know that that's the case, and they're all trying to do that and avoid those big innings early on in a game. So I don't think you do anything different. I know people probably don't want to hear that. Fans, when you're 4-15, want your manager to be fiery, get kicked out of a game, whatever that might be. I don't think that works in baseball. I think in baseball you go out there, you prepare, and you execute time-tested baseball fundamentals, and you try to win a game as a result.
From the Rockies Radio Network, Jerry Schimmel joining us today on the Team Sports Network. We'll have Rockies and Mariners tonight from Coors Field with pregame at 6 o'clock. And so we're now through 19 games this season. for you, Jerry, during this this start of the season, the 19 games. The thing, well, we'll start with the positive today. The thing that you've been the most pleased with, maybe a player performance, something you like about this ball club that you've seen through the first 19 games.
Yeah, I think overall the starting rotation, other than that first inning, Jim, has been really good. And we've hit on that already. But, you know, Cal Quantrill and Dakota Hudson, the new guys in the rotation, have been solid. They've had their moments, but they've been solid, other than a few, you know, bad innings. Austin Gomber's been good. Kyle Freeland has been up and down a little bit, and that's been a little disappointing. But I think the starting rotation has been a bright spot. And then two players. I think Brenton Doyle has shown an improvement offensively. His approach is different. He's hitting close to 300. He's got three homers, and he's got, I think, 7 or 8 RBIs. His approach to play looks different. He's striking out, but not the rate he was last year. He looks like a better hitter. And then Ezekiel Tovar just continues to make strides offensively. He's going to be a Gold Glove shortstop forever. You can see that when he was 21 years old 2 years ago when he came up. And he's solid there and makes the awesome play a lot as well. But his offense, Jim, just seems to get better and better. Got pop in his bat now. You know, 22-year-old is just kind of filling out physically. I think he's got more power in that bat coming up. I think he could be a 25-homer guy. But that improvement with a young shortstop has really been fun to watch for me.
Getting back to Dakota Hudson, I agree with him. He's got off to a good start. He hasn't picked up a win yet. He's 0-3, but he also hasn't got a whole lot of run support, has he, so far? So that's made it tough to get that first W in the column this season.
Yeah, no one's really got – none of the starting pitchers have got much run support other than – I guess Ryan Feltner, when the Rockies had that big outburst in game one and last Friday in Toronto. So really the offense has sputtered. And when that happens, even if you got a good starting pitcher throwing well, he's not going to win a lot of games if there's not offense behind him. So yeah, I think Dakota Hudson's been a really pleasant surprise. He barely, Jim, made that rotation. He was the fifth starter coming out of spring training. It was either he or Peter Lambert. And Dakota Hudson kind of won that spot by a couple good solid starts late in spring training, and it's carried over. He's been terrific. I mean, Bud Black said to the media that day, he looks like the pitcher the Cardinals had in his first couple of years at the last couple starts he's had. So, yeah, a real pleasant surprise for us. And just a good, solid, a great guy, great with the media, and knows how to get guys out, and that's why he's here.
From the Rockies Radio Network, Jerry Schimmel joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And, you know, from a veteran perspective, Ryan McMahon, he's cut down his number of strikeouts. It's, you know, that's been a big improvement for Mac, but I just think we're seeing a better player at the plate so far with Ryan McMahon, the start he's had this season.
Yep, I agree with you, Jim, and that's a bright spot too. I probably should have mentioned him, and his approach to plate's a little bit different. In spring training, he was telling us he's got to be quicker to the ball. He's got to cut down that long swing. You know, the long swing, he believes, it produces power. But I think he's discovered that quicker the ball, let the ball travel a little bit more, has helped him a lot make contact and go the opposite way. So, yeah, he looks like an improved player. And you give him a lot of credit. He worked very hard in the offseason to kind of change his stroke, his approach to the plate. He has cut down the strikeouts. He is driving the ball very well. And really, he said, you've seen him, Jim. He's got that natural left-handed swing. I mean, it's so pretty. You watch him batting practice, that's how a guy needs to swing a bat. If there's a classic swing, it's right there with Ryan McMahon. So to see him have success because he's worked at it with the natural ability he's had has been really fun.
So now we have to go to the bad side of things. 4-15 right now. I mean, obviously the record is the most disappointing thing. The start in that opening game at Arizona with the 16 runs. Certainly a disappointment, and it's the stench of that is kind of carried over for a little bit after the way they play in that opener at Arizona. But for you, Jerry, what's been maybe the most disappointing thing, a thing you thought would be better about this baseball team through 19 games that hasn't been better?
Yeah, I think just overall with the offense, you know, what you hope is young guys like Nolan Jones, who were so good as a rookie, just get a little bit better in their sophomore year, and that has not happened. Brendan Rodgers has been really inconsistent. I think it's the combination of the veterans being up and down. Charlie Blackman had a great start. Now he's, 2 for his last 30 or something like that. So I think just the inconsistency with young and old offensively has been disappointing. You know, you keep waiting for guys to break out. Nolan Jones had a slump, and then he had a big game. You think, all right, here we go again. And then he slumps again and starts striking out again. That's the disappointing part for me, is guys just can't break out of a slump and then sustain the success they have once they break out. So I guess the inconsistency, Jim, has been probably for me offensively the most disappointing thing.
Well, and for example, a guy like Nolan Jones that, last year finished fourth in the National League, Rookie of the Year voting, had a great season last year, but he's really struggled. And the Rockies, they're second right now in all of baseball in chase rate. I think it's like 33%, something like that. So it's been a problem for this lineup and it seems like throughout the course of Rockies history, it's a team that likes to chase some bad pitches. And unfortunately, this year's addition of the Rockies is no different, going after a lot of bad balls out of the strike zone.
Yeah. And Jim, that was something that the coaching staff talked about a lot in spring training. The approach offensively is we've got to cut down the strikeouts. We have to, as a team, stop chasing all those pitches. Because when you strike out, you know how this works. Everybody does in baseball. You strike out, nothing good happens. You put the ball in play, you might make an out, but you might find a hole or you might advance a guy. And that's what the Rockies have not been good at the last couple of years, and certainly aren't good at it this year. It's just putting the ball in play and having quality at bats. It's just not happening. And the strikeouts seem to have come in these first handful of games, Jim, at crucial times when you really need to put the ball in play or advance a runner or get a fly ball out to sacrifice. Just not happening for the Rockies. So the chase rate is there, the strikeout rate. I think they're last time I looked, it was a couple of days ago, they were second in strikeouts in the National League. That has to discontinue. That has to change for this team to get better offensively.
And Nolan Jones, unfortunately, leads all of baseball with 30 strikeouts so far over 18 games on the season. So he's struck at least once in every 16 games, including six games with a couple of punch-outs. So it's been a real struggle for Nolan Jones, who had such an incredible season last year. Jerry Schimmel from the Rockies Radio Network joining us on the program. And then there's always the ongoing Chris Bryant story, where Chris Bryant's on the injured list again, dealing with more back problems. He was healthy to start out the season, but really struggled mightily at the plate. It just continues to be a difficult story, this part of the Chris Bryant chapter here in Colorado.
Yeah, it sure is, Jim. And now he's on the injury list. He'll get piled on a little bit more because the word, he's fragile. He can't stay healthy. And then he's healthy, he's not productive. And that big contract he has doesn't help anything either. But I can tell you this, with Chris Bryant just being around him every day, Jim, he cares. It's not like, hey, I'm fragile and I know it. I got a little injury, so I'm going to go on the injury list. That's not Chris Bryant. He's dedicated. He works hard. He's in the weight room all the time. He's coachable, and all those, he does all the things that you would normally think a great hitter like he has been would do. He continues to do, but he just can't stay healthy. And like you said, when he is healthy, he just can't get on any kind of streak. So that's been disappointing. And what you hope is that he gets healthy again and he's in the lineup every day and then starts producing, because I think it's still there. You look at him physically, I think he's 30 or 31. He should be in the prime of his career physically. This is when he should be more productive than he's ever been. That's what baseball history says. You turn 30, your early 30s is your most productive year. So what you hope is that sometime it happens. I know it's the third year of this with Chris, and we seem to see the same thing, but I do think there is still hope for this guy. I really do.
Hey, Jerry, always wonderful talking with you. Doing a fantastic job with Jack on the Rockies broadcast. I know sometimes it's tough when you have a team that's a 4-15 team to keep the positives out there. But I think you guys do a great job of that, and I appreciate the time as always. We'll have the Rockies and the Seattle Mariners tonight, pregame at 6, first pitch at 6:40, right here on the team. Jerry Schimmel with us. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend and have a great call tonight.
You bet, Jim. Nice to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Likewise. Take care. Jerry Schimmel with us on the program this morning. All right. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm not going to ask Jerry. I mean, Jerry's always going to be positive. Jerry, works for the Rockies. He's not going to go out and trash him. It's tough, though, when you're paying a guy $182 million And you know that Chris Bryant wants to perform. He wants to deliver. It's not like a guy wants to be on the IL all the time and wants to suck.
He's no Jay Cutler.
But there comes a point where he's had an injury history. You threw $182 million at him. It felt like the Rockies weren't bidding against anybody for Chris Bryant. They were bidding against themselves, and so they dramatically, incredibly overpaid for Chris Bryant.
The strangest thing. And they had just dealt Nolan. They had just dealt Nolan Arenado.
Yeah.
The guy... This is still the big puzzler for me, Jim, as an outsider looking in. You had one of the best third basemen in the game. And Chris Bryant, at the time, injury history aside, was a top-tier third baseman, a utility guy who could go to the outfield coming fresh off the 2016 World Series, right? You got a couple years removed from that. But there was... Back then, there was nobody in the MLB telling you that Chris Bryant for Nolan Arenado is a good idea. There was no hot stove. There was no desire. None of that.
I think in the case of the Rockies, it was they dealt Nolan after Jeff Breidich lied to him about that they were going to go out and they were going to build up the starting rotation. They were going to put additional pieces around him to make this team a wild card contender every year, maybe at some point a division winner. And they came close. They had that one game to play against the Dodgers for the National League West title, lost to the Dodgers back in 2018, I believe. And so Nolan gets dealt because they lie to him and he wants out. It's like, I'm ready. Okay, I'm waving my no trade. I want out. And they get Gomber and they get Montero and a bag of baseballs and some old jock straps and whatever for Nolan. And plus, they send $50 million to the Cardinals. That's bad enough that you don't get a whole lot in return for him. But then they send $50 million to the Cardinals. And let's be honest with Nolan right now. The numbers are not what they've been in Colorado, sitting 299, which is not terrible, but one home run, nine ribbies. It's okay. Still rather have him in Colorado, though. So I'd rather have him with the Rockies right now. Guy that was as reliable as the day is long. Guy that didn't miss a lot of time, wasn't on the injured list. I think when they had to move Arenado, then there was the, oh my God, we have to have a star player here. Chris Bryant's that guy. How much can we overpay Chris Bryant to come here? I think I got Chris Bryant going, well, I didn't realize what their prospects were. I should have probably thought more about where I was signing. Because all of a sudden, $182 million doesn't seem that great when people are on your butt all the time. They're booing you. They're booing you. In your home ballpark, because number one, you suck. You're terrible right now at the plate, and then you're hurt all the time.
Yeah, Jerry said it best though. Yeah, you're right. You feel for the guy.
I don't feel bad for Chris Bryant. I don't think Chris Bryant's a bad guy.
Right.
I just think when you made the comment, I should have looked at their prospects better and should have had a better sense of what I was getting into. Dude, that's on you. And so now, be prepared to get ripped by people.
True. Those boos, though, I feel are coming from a place of a little deeper.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, you're
deeper malaise, if you will.
It's an anger at the Monforts. It's an anger at Bill Schmidt. It's an anger at how this team has been constructed. The focus is more on making it Wrigley Field West and making it a fun place to go to. Yeah, it doesn't matter if the ball club's good. Plus, it's fun.
Last time I was here, somebody in the pile called it the best bar in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
With the party deck and everything. Which, I'll be honest, I've never been up the party deck. Just looks like, I think I'm good. I'm just good here in wherever seats I'm at. But that it's more of a frustration. Chris Bryant becomes the $182 million whipping boy, the punching bag for everybody. By his own decisions that he made, but also by the Rockies overpaying him, and then just be another example of another really, really bad decisions by the Rockies. And it's rough, man. It's rough. At least your Cubs have a World Series. Chris Bryant get to be part of that.
Yeah.
And you guys are playing well right now. Cubs have a good start.
Yeah, that Michael, I forget his last name. He's got such a great start. He's homered the last six games. But, yeah, you know, we did get the one, and there's a lot of history there. And, you know, it is difficult, I think, to be so young as you are, like the Colorado Rockies.
Are you thinking of Michael Busch?
Yes, Michael Busch. Thank you.
Six home runs for Michael Busch.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's been killing it. And
Bellinger's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bellinger's been good for the last 2 years. They didn't have to go splash with anybody. They're kind of relying on who they have and the people coming up in their system, much like they did in the run-up to 20.
Yeah, Mikey Tauchman.
16.
One-time Rocky, Mikey Tauchman.
Right, People are starting to kind of buy into the management system. I mean, the Madden thing was still a little bit, you know, salty there. But you can't be that, I don't think, in Colorado, because you get the lovable loser thing, the bleacher bum thing from Wrigley, because, you know, you've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Not hundreds and hundreds, but, you know,
a long time.
A long time. So you've won, you've lost, you've won, you've gone through all of this with those people, and they're there, right? The Rockies haven't done that. They haven't been along like long enough, and to kind of try to mimic that, or at least slice off a piece of that pie,
and
it's a hard thing to do.
And no offense to the Cubs, the history of the Cubs, anything. That's what you're gunning for. That's what you're aspiring to be, is the ball club that it's fun to go to Wrigley Field, drink an old style,
talk about a curse, about a goat,
and just suck all the time, or a majority of the
time. Because that's what it was. Everybody knew you sucked, and you went to the game to be in right field, to be seen, or maybe shout out by Harry, you know. There's a psycho who's drinking beers with me at 3 in the afternoon. There's Harry Carey, you know.
Hey, everybody. Craig Counsell's doing a great job, by the way, with the Cubs, too. That was a quality get by the Cubs.
We love Ross. It was, you know, you needed to make a move.
Absolutely. All right. So we got four down territory coming up. Also, this day in sports history, you need to do Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia, brought to you by Wrigley Field. They're located just east of Sam Saplesio Field and North Avenue, Grand Junction's original sports bar, and the home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field. You want a gift certificate to Wrigley Field? Here's the question today. If you won earlier today, you can't play. If you've won the last 2 weeks, you can't play. Simple as that. Otherwise, no age restriction on this. It's a Nuggets question. Which former Denver Nugget won an MVP, Rookie of the Year, and was the All-Star Game MVP his rookie season? He did all that in his rookie season. Giving you some multiple choice today. Was it Carmelo Anthony, Spencer Haywood, or Fat Lever? Which former Denver Nugget won the MVP, Rookie of the Year, and was the All-Star Game MVP his rookie season? Did all those in one season. First correct answer wins today. It's Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. Once again, it's your multiple choices are Carmelo Anthony, Spencer Haywood, Fat Lever. Which former Denver Nugget won the MVP, Rookie of the Year, and was the All-Star Game MVP his rookie season? Was it Fat Lever, Spencer Haywood, Carmelo Anthony? All right, get your answer in now on the team line, 970-242-1340. All right, time to jump quickly into four-down territory.
We're into four-down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, start things out with first down. Randy Johnson was on Dan Patrick. And Dan was talking about the time. Remember when Randy Johnson obliterated the bird in flight during a spring training game? Did it when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Hit a dove and just basically blew the dove apart. Randy Johnson, and it was 20 years ago today, by the way, that happened. So Johnson said there was a reason why it got caught on video, because it was a spring training game. He said the only reason it was even caught on camera is because our videographer had his little camcorder out in center field for the hitters and for me, so I could watch my mechanics and the hitters could do the same. That's the only reason he was even captured on video. Johnson has told the story of the incident many times over the years and did it once more, and Patrick asked him his initial reaction. He said, when I initially threw the pitch, I threw the pitch, I hit the bird, and I was kind of stunned. I thought initially someone had maybe thrown something from a dugout or from the stands. It all happened so fast. All right, second down. Broncos and Sean Payton may be in love with J.J. McCarthy. Kurt Warner isn't so sure about J.J. McCarthy. From Warner, if I'm drafting someone in the top five, I want to know that I can trust him to win games with his right arm. We've never had to see that. We've never saw the pressure on him to have to make throw after throw after throw, week after week, to carry his football team. Things we've talked about on this program. You'll have to do that in the National Football League, but the way the league is built with the talent, the quarterback position, so it's a huge question for me because we've never seen it. That's why it's hard to buy into J.J. McCarthy, people. Great running game, great offensive line, great defense, and McCarthy was just an extra ingredient in the national championship season. All right, third and fourth down.
All right, Jim, the NIL world might change forever after what happened in Virginia this past week. The legislation there signed into law, something that was previously passed, but it now permits the colleges and universities of Virginia to directly pay athletes for the NIL deals they'll be able to offer them as of July 1st starting this year. So this is what the first iteration of the rules surrounding NIL and what the schools will be able to do kind of coalesced. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Absolutely.
Fourth down, it's about Coach Prime. It hasn't been a real good look for him the last couple of weeks, with 19 people transferring out of Boulder, as well as him being kind of ripped for Alton McCaskill's treatment, Corbody McClain as well, but no worries from the family. They've come out and said it's all good. But it's funny that Shalomi, Deion Sanders' daughter, is transferring out of Colorado, the basketball program. Right. She's a freshman point guard. So we'll see if the hype train continues into Coach Prime's second year.
All right. So we'll skip this day in sports history, running behind here a little bit. So we'll do. We get to the other side. We have time. We'll work in this day in sports history. Take a break right now on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back in, Jim, along with Max. I do believe we have a winner for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia.
Congratulations, Steve. That was the correct answer that he put out on there, that it was
Spencer Haywood. And I'll cut you some slack because we're running short on time, since I didn't get to play my little imaging piece there.
My unprofessionalism once again.
Yeah,
that's right. Here's its ugly.
But Spencer Haywood, one of the first players to turn pro before graduating from college. NBA wouldn't let him play, so he went to the ABA. That's where he did all that. 30 points, 19.5 rebounds in his only ABA season. Then he went to the NBA the next year. So congratulations, Steve. Let's see. Got a couple other texts from Dylan. In-N-Out Burger is very average at best. Nature Valley granola bars are fine, except the fruit ones. I just don't like the fact they crumble and fall apart. Todd, my brother was going to CSU in the 80s. He and his friends showed up at my apartment 2 o'clock in the morning with his friends. They came over for a DW trip. Also made one to Salt Lake City, as there was a DW there too. DW.
That is a gas station.
Okay,
a Maverick-esque, Bucky's-esque type of gas station.
Thank you very much. From Mr. Baker, the best burger, try Vico's Charbroil Drive in West Glenwood. The Charbroil burger.
Very
been
good.
There before. It's a good burger. A little on the pricey side, but it's good. And from Robert, you might say it was a split bird decision, what you say, team, on Randy Johnson. He also criticizing sports leagues, players gamble, and they embrace. We talked about that. There's hypocrisy there. There's no doubt about it. All right, so that is our show for today. Tremendous job as always, Max.
Thanks,
sir. With you on Monday. Rockies in Seattle tonight.